Maaser Sheni is so that Laman Tilmad L'Yira Esad Hashem Elokecha, so that one may be able to fulfill the mitzvah or approach a more loftier level of Yiras Hashem Tahora. Post this in Baba Basra Daf Chaf Aleph comments, what is the connection between Yerushalayim and Laman Tilmad? The Tosfos tells us, Lefi Shero Hashem Kedusha Gedola V'Kohanim Bavoda. When you come to Yerushalayim, you see and you're part of the experience of Kahuna, of Avoda, of Kedusha, you're raised up. Now I know this convention didn't quite make it to Yerushalayim, but I know, speaking for myself and as well as perhaps some of our other chaverim, we made the trip here in order to be able to also achieve a Laman Tilmad L'Yiras Hashem Elokecha. The sessions and the convention are really meant to charge up our Yiras Hashem Tahora. And there perhaps is no better way to do that outside of Yerushalayim than immersing ourselves in that revolutionary concept which Rabbi Akiva promulgated, Es Adoshem Elokecha Tira L'Rabos Talmidei Chachamim. When we are in the presence and we become part of the experience of a dialogue or a shir with the Gadol B'Torah, we get that sense of Yira that is only to be seen as part of Yiras Hashem Tahora L'Rabos Talmidei Chachamim. Therefore, first, a great privilege for all of the Chaverim to have the opportunity this evening to be present at a shir of Harav Hagon Rabaron Soloveitchik Shlita. By way of introduction, I will mention only an introduction which I heard given to Hagon Rabaron Soloveitchik Shlita by Hagon Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik when he introduced Rabaron. Actually, it was when I was a Rav on the West Side. He introduced Rav Aaron, who was in New York at that time. It was just at the beginning, the founding of Yeshivas Brisk in Chicago. And he spoke about what Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Shlita, his brother, has to offer our door, our generation. The Rav at that point said, and I will not attempt to even begin to bring to you the emotion that he said it with, on Hagosha that the Rav Shlita should be well used when he spoke at that time, but he said that his brother, Hagon Rabaron Soloveitchik Shlita, personifies two midos. One is Emes, and one is Chasidus. Rabaron, he said, is the Ish Emes, because when it comes to Halacha and to Torah, he knows neither yamin or small. He knows only the way of Emes. I had the privilege to be a Talmud of Hagon Rabaron Soloveitchik, and as a student yet I remember how certain stands he took were not appreciated, perhaps not understood, and perhaps cannot be seen and fully appreciated until years pass. When we were learning in the yeshiva, in retrospect I would say he took a historical stand against the traditional movement which attempted to change the halakha of the way the Beis Knesset should be kept al pi Torah's emes. He was, on the other side of the coin, the only Rosh Yeshiva at that time who spoke out against involvement in the Vietnam War. He was a Rosh Yeshiva who was not only sought after for the Torah of Brisk and for the Lumdus, which only Shalsheles Brisk had to offer, but I can recall yet my elder brother, Rabbi Yaakov, taking me to Ashkofish Yerim at Yeshiva University, where you had a room that was packed with hundreds of soon-to-be Rabbonim who sought the Torah Chaim of a Hashkofa that only Rabbaron could deliver. to tell you now that I am in the rabbinate, I appreciate even more the MS and the independence and the courage of a Rav Agon, Rav Soloveitchik, would be an understatement. I didn't appreciate what courage is until I entered the rabbinate. I didn't appreciate what it means to be MS until I started to feel some of the pressures that we have day to day in the community. The other nida that Hagon of Yosef Dov Soloveitchik Shlita spoke of was that Rav Aaron, his brother, was the quintessence of the chassid that David HaMelech spoke of in Sefer Tehillim. And I want you to know that in Rabbonus I learned one of two things to aspire to from Rav Aaron. I remember once being in the home and one of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's grandchildren was crying. He insisted that the parent of that child immediately pick up the child. And he mentioned Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who was late from Kippur night to Kol Nidre because he was taking care of a baby that was crying. And Rav Aaron said, how can anyone leave a child that's crying? And I remember seeing how when people called or people came by, strangers, people who had a peripheral relationship, to tell of a simcha, of a problem, of a crisis, I don't think I've ever seen the empathy and the true concern. And the rabbi, you know, you pick up the phone, it's this mazel tov and this involvement and that involvement. But really, you have the opportunity to see the real chesed and the real feeling for problems for another human being that Agon Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Shlita represents. It's a particular kavod this evening to Jewish Rav Soloveitchik, because in the last few years his gevura and his MS have become all the more clear. He will address Al Pi Torah, all issues that face the Jewish community. Those who have the privilege to hear him, who have the privilege and experience to appreciate what he's saying, will surely walk away with that sense of Laman Tilmad L'Yiras Hashem Elokecha. On behalf of all the Rabbonim, I only want to say that we hope Emir Tashem, as Moshe Rabbeinu said to Yeshua right before he had to undertake the very difficult task of making decisions for Kal Yisrael, Moshe said to Yeshua, Rak Chazak Ve'ematz, and be ever so careful, the Vilti Sur, Yomin Usmol, from that which I have taught you. We hope in Yirtz Hashem that on a physical level of Agon Rav Soloveitchik will be able to feel that Chazak Ve'ematz, and I hope for our benefit he will always be able to guide us between Yom and Smol. Rav Agon Rav Aaron Soloveitchik.
My grandfather Rav Chaim, like all his contemporary Rabbonim, and unlike the Rabbonim of today, was my grandfather Reb Chaim, like all the Rabbonim of his door, and unlike the Rabbonim of today, was accustomed to deliver his roshe only twice a year, Shabbos HaGodol and Shabbos Tshuva. Shabbos HaGodol, he spoke halacha, he discussed a minyan in Hilchas Pesach. Shabbos Tshuva, the Baal Batim expected him to say Divrei Tehillim. So every time Reb Chaim spoke on Shabbos Tshuva, he prefaced his drosha by the following remark. He said, Rabbi Yisai, the Gemara in Eirachon says that one Tane said, Mo'ani, in yesh b'deir hazeh mi sheyodeh le'yachiyach, shimecho deimel chaveirei, tul kesen mi ben shenecho, eimelei, tul keirom b'yach. So, the Gemara says that hardly anyone is in a position to set himself up as a mechiyach to other people. So how can he consider himself as worthy of being mechiyach? But he still delivers a drosha of tichoche. But he's delivering the tichoche only to himself. Not it's a mamalak. So then you ask to myself, why do I have to come to shul to give tichoche? I can stay in my house. I would do it. But if I were to lock myself up in my house and speak to myself, the Balabatim would declare me a skmishuge. They would lock me up. So because of that, I decided I'll go to shul and I'll sing to Choche, but the Choche is directed only to himself. So if the Chaim felt that he was not worthy to give to Choche, even though I'm sure that in Greece there were many Jews who had to be reprimanded. In Sadi Borat, as you have a table reactor, Salachat Tzoytzi Kalachimna, Ben Mesha Kalachimna, that I'm not worthy to give to Chochet here. But I'll do as Rav Chaim. I'll direct all the Tichoche that you might find in my Chochet to myself. And I have a special reason as to why I can engage in manalak. The droshe that I'm going to deliver will not be, on the whole, one of the chochot. It will be in the nature of a vidu, but not vidu in the same sense as Vidulim Akipurim, where a Jew says, Oshamnu, Bogavnu, Gzalnu, Dibarnu Deifi. It will be a Vidu in the same sense as the Mishneh refers to the Parshe of Biarti HaKodesh Nabais, Vidu Maisvais, Kisichale La'aseir Esmaseot Vosho, Vashono Hashlishish, Shnasamaiseya. So he is Mechuyev, a Jew is Mechuyev, in the third year of Shnasashmite, close to Pesach, to make a certain declaration. Or, as the Rambam refers to the Drosh, to the parasha of Bikurim. Vidu Bikurim. This is not a vidu in the sense of a confession of Oshamnu, Bogadnu, Bazalnu, Chotosi, Odisi, Poshaiti. He's not confessing. On the contrary, he's telling of his accomplishments, Bialti HaKidesh Nabais, Eveisi, Priyo Hadomo. But vidu bikur means self-evaluation. So I am going to engage in a self-evaluation, and it's not a self-evaluation of the Ishtaros Rabbanim. I'm not an officer of the Ishtaros Rabbanim, and I cannot give a self-evaluation of the Ishtaros Rabbanim, but I am a chover of the Ishtaros Rabbanim. So I'm part of you. I'm going to make an objective self-evaluation. When I say objective, it means an objective from my subjective point of view. So I'm going to make this self-evaluation of myself is part of this parashava. And on the contrary, I will mention the great achievements of the Tavas Rabbon in the course of the years. And I think that there is an analogy between the self, the video that I'm going to make of myself as part of the Tavas Rabbon, because I have been a chaver of the Status Rabbonim for 35 years, and the Vidu Bikurim that is recited by the person who brings Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. And there is a great resemblance between the Vidu that I'm going to recite together with you, and the video because but when I say video together with you, together with an account of the great achievements that the Status Rabbonim has done, I have to mention of the mistakes and the failures of the Status Rabbonim. But don't think that I am trying to criticize the Status Rabbonim. I'm not trying to criticize the Status Rabbonim. I'm just trying to give an objective evaluation that necessarily entails constructive criticism as well. The Vidu Bikurim, the parasha of Vidu Bikurim, was incorporated into the Haggadah of Pesach. Why? What's the connection between the parasha of Vidu Bikurim and the Haggadah of Pesach? Now, in the parasha of Vidu Bikurim, the Torah says, "Uvoso elakein ashadiye bayomim ahein, bomarto elov, gaviti hayein ladishem elikecho, kivosi eloret, asher nishba ladiseinu moses lonu." And then, "Vayoreyu isona hamitzrim, vayanuyu, vayitnu oleinu abidokosho, vayitzek alishem leke adiseinu, וישמע השם את קולנו ויראה אלינו ושמאלנו ושלחתנו ויצאנו עד השם ממצרים להיות חזוקו וזרוע נטויו ובני רגודל ובאיסיס ובמפסים ויביאנו אל המוקים הזה וייתן לנו את האורץ הזוי ארץ זו בתחול ובדוש. The whole parasha of Vidu Bikurim is orbited around the Eretz Yisrael, around the promised land. But then there's another passage which was also incorporated into the text of the Haggadah Shel Pesach. And according to the Rambam, this is the central theme of the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Namely, Seyul Mad, Ma Bitei Shlovano Arami, La'asif Liyakov Avinu, Sheparali Gozar Elo Aschorim, Vilovon Bitei Shla'akir Asakir, Shenemar Arami Yedidavi. This, according to the Rambam, is the central theme of the Haggadah Shel Pesach. I want to cite the Lashon Rambam. Perek Zayin Hilchos Chometz Matzo, Halacha Dalet, Bitzorich Lehasfil Bignus, ומסיים בשבח כיצד מסביר ומספר שבתחילו היו אביתנו במיתרח ומלפונות קיצרים ביתים אחר האבל ורצים אחר עבד הסבירים ומסיים בדס האמת שקבונו עמוק עם לוי וידלונו מאומץ וקבונו ליחודי וכן מסביר ומדיע שעבוד עם עודינו מפער עם מצרים וכל אורו שגמולנו ומסיים בניסים ובנפלויס שנעשה לנו ובחירותינו. והוא, all of that has significance של דברי שמי הרם ירידו. If you recite everything, but you omit the הרם ירידו, then it has no significance. והוא שדברי שמי הרם ירידו, עד שדברי הכל הפרשת, בכל עמי סינק ומריר בדרש פרשת זו, הרי זה משוח. רמב"ם מדגיש, the significance of the drash of Aram Eliyahu. Why does he call it drash? Because the whole meaning applied to the pasuk Aram Eliyahu, which is the pshat by Untales, as the Rambam points out many times in the Miriam Bukhin, always translates the pshutim with the pshutim. Always with the truth, not with the drash. It's come upon him at all. So Elu Be'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, but Untales will always translate the psukim according to the Pshutish Mikra, not according to the drash. But here he says Aram Yehudovi has reference to Lovan. As the Ben Ezra points out, and Rabbi Yehudah Sforne, and all the Miporshi Atoro points out that with Pshutish HaMikro according al Bididuk, so Arami does not have reference to Bilam, but to Lodam, but it has reference to Yaakov. And the Ben Ezra points out, if it has reference to Lodam, and David means that he tried to destroy Yaakov, so then the Torah should say, Arami Ma'avidovi. Why Arami Avidovi? Arami Avidovi. Al-Pididuk means Arami the wandering Arami, Yaakov. He was a wandering Jew. He was a refugee. A fugitive. Still, so no one can deny that with judicial mikro, Arami Avidovi has reference not alone. But yeah, and as a matter of fact, it is interesting. Yenis in the Nizir many times explains the psukim with the drash, not according to the tradition of Torah. Umicheles always explains the psukim with the tradition of Torah, not with the drash. Here they reverse the roles. Yenis in the Nizir applies the Pasuk Arami Yehudovi to Yaakov, and Ungeles, Dafke, the Pashtun, who always emphasizes the Pshutish HaMikra, he applies the expression Arami Yehudovi to Loma. Why? Because this, even though a Mikoyetim the Pshutish, and I heard from my father, there are certain parashas that can be read b'cholosh, let's say Kriya Shema, Machlekes Rebbe Lechachon, and we pass from like the Rabbono, Shema b'cholosh in Shat HaShemeya. Now the question is this, suppose you recite Kriya Shema in English, and suppose there is a certain posik, a certain expression, that has two meanings, the traditional Mikro and the Drash. For example, Vishinantam Levanecho, what's the traditional mikro Vishinantam Levanecho, that's in Kriya Shema. Thou shalt teach to thy sons, thy children. What's the drash? Vishinantam Levanecho, shiyud ibriteiro mechudodim l'ficho. Shiyishalcho odam dobo al tigamgein. Ele meyle miyad, that's the drash. When one recites Kriya Shema in English, how should you recite it? You lost not it. So you recite Vishinantam, and Vishinantam has two meanings. It has the meaning of thou shalt teach to thy children, and it has the drash meaning. Both are equally true that Vishnu Dilatirum Khadam Nifiho. But in English, it's impossible. The present meaning showed that it would have both meanings. Impossible. No linguist will be able to do that. So how does it have to be translated? So my father said, of course, according to the traditional Mikor. Published the traditional Mikor. So here, Unkel, who always is makpid to translate every expression in the Torah according to the literal meaning, here he emphasized the Drash meaning. Why? Because the Drash meaning constitutes a central hashkofe in the Weltanschauung of the Adus. And it is because many Orthodox rabbis have ignored and neglected the Drash of Arami Yehudovi that we have so many problems now in Israel. And of course, in America too. But primarily in Israel. Now, we have to understand the meaning of this Drash, Arami Yehudovi. Tzeilmad, Mabike Ishlovana Arami Lasis Liyakov Avinu. Sheparili gozaro laschori bilovon bitish lakir etakeil. Is that so? Did Lovon try to kill everybody? Not so. Whom did he try to kill? Rashi says a Chumash, because Lovon pursued Yaakov. But when Lovon pursued, Valida yielded after him at the end of Ayetze. But when Lovon pursued Yaakov, his intention was not to kill Yaakov at all. If he had killed Yaakov, he would have destroyed the lives of his daughters, and Lovon was devoted to his daughters. Lovon was a Rami, but no one can accuse Lovon that Lovon didn't care for his daughters. He certainly cared for his daughters, and there is no expression in the Torah that tends to indicate that Lovon tried to kill Yaakov. So how do Chazal say, Seyul Mat, Mabriti Shlovon Arami La'afis Yaakov Avinu, Shepari Ligozare La'aschorim, Bilobon Bitish La'akras Akeru? It doesn't mean that Lovon tried to kill Yaakov, and even if Lovon did try to kill Yaakov, Yaakov was one Jew, and Kare issued a decree against all the males. So why is Lovon worse than Paray? The answer is Lovon tried to equate the freedom aspiration that motivated Yaakov and his children with the freedom aspiration that motivates all other people. And it is interesting. Freedom is universal, considered as a universal aspiration. Still, the Torah emphasizes the uniqueness of the freedom of the Jewish people. And in regard to the Korban Pesach, the Torah says, Kol b'neichol lo yeichol boi. A goy, im megateish, in Eisgoy, chside o misaelon, a humanitarian goy, cannot partake of the Korban Pesach. A Yisrael mumeach, true that Chazal say that Teishin is oil leimitris gerimei kifelach olimen rakoseir, but if somebody is oil mumea cannot partake of the Korban Pesach, it's also to give the Korban Pesach to his oil mumea. Why? No, Korban Pesach is the Kolben of freedom. And freedom is a universal aspiration. Why should non-Jews and disloyal Mumrim be excluded from involvement in a contest? And leader, we say, on the other hand, suggests, according to Nibin, according to Chazal, is a universal holiday. As the Novice Chari says, Zeistia Chatas Mitzrayim, Vichatas Koagoyim, Ashaloyalu Lochik es Chagasukim. Superficially, the reverse should be. Sukkot does not celebrate any universal norm. Sukkot is dedicated to the fact that the Jews in the wilderness, they dwelled in booths. That should be considered as a Jewish holiday. But Pesach, which celebrates freedom, should be a universal holiday. No. But the Torah says, Kol b'nei chol yerichol b'ei. Why? To impress upon the Jews that the freedom towards which we aspire is a unique kind of freedom. And it cannot be equated with the freedom of other people. Why? Because Bitziacho es Ha'om Mitzrayim Tavdu es Rikim Ala Horahu. And the Rambam says in the Rebuchim, and the Ram at the end of Psochim mentions in Medrash that the reason is why the Torah requires us to count Tzvira. Of course, we count to the Omer, but the Medrash says the real reason as to why the Torah requires us to count Tzvira is to impress upon our minds and our hearts that the whole significance of Yitzias Mitzrayim is Bitziacho et Ha'om Mitzrayim Tavdu Nesalikim Arahu, to prepare them for Matan Torah. That's the goal of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And that's why we say Masvil Bignus Umisayim Mishvach. So there's a machleket between Rav and Shmuel. One says Avodim Olinu and Vayetzeinu, and the other one says Mitzchilo Yidilim Oyavetzeinu Ve'achshav Kevon Amot Ravdosei. But many Rishim point out the mitzvah among them, that there is no machleket. Marom Achodeh Umarom Achodeh Ve'Lekligeh. The Machlekes is only what should you recite first. But of course he has to recite both. He has to give an account of the Shibut Aguf of Avodim Ayinu and the Cheos Aguf Vayitzein Ladishen Mitzrayim, and he has to give an account of the Shibut HaNefesh Mitzchilo Yidil Limoy Avetzeinu the Akshok Kevonu Hamotim Lavidosei, and the Machlekes is what should you recite first. So one says that he has to recite first Mitzchilo Yidil Limoy Avetzeinu the Akshok Kevonu Hamotim Lavidosei, because that's the primary thing. Avodim Ayinu Rifarim Mitzrayim Yitzin Adishem Shom, this is something that overtook other people's door. The black people were also slaves, and then they were liberated. Is it the same thing as Yitzias Mitzrayim? How can such a thought be Eila Adas? So the primary thing is the Chirus HaNefesh, the fact that through Yitzias Mitzrayim, so the Jewish nation became an Am HaMelechus Kehanim B'Yei Kodesh. So that has to be recited first. And the other one, Donna, says, true indeed, that the primary thing is the Chirus HaNefesh. But there cannot be genuine Chirus HaNefesh without a magicum of Chirus HaNefesh. It's impossible. A slave cannot be in Mamlechus Kerem V'Gitar Eish. So the Chiyus HaGuf is indispensable towards the possibility of a Chiyus HaNefesh, towards the possibility of building up a nation of Mamlechus Kerem V'Gitar Eish. That's why the Adam and Doma says that Avodim Odinu V'Yitzeinu has to be recited first, and we pass like that. Not that Avodim Odinu V'Yitzeinu is the more important aspect, Chas V'Sholem, but there couldn't be a Mamlechus Kerem V'Kodesh without the Chiyus HaGuf. So this is the essential theme of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Anyway, he has to emphasize the drash of Aram Yehudot. What did Rabban do? Today, modern people, sometimes Orthodox Rabbonim, talk about Jew communism. And they think that Jew communism is of recent origin. The Pope, he was the one who invented the concept of ecumenism. But do you know who invented the concept of ecumenism? And I want to bring Igula Leilam by saying Dovah B'Shinein Rei. The one who invented, the first one to conceive of the concept of ecumenism was Lava. So, he deserves credit. In Vayetze, Bereishis Lamed Aleph, Posik Mem Hei, or Posik Mem Daled, the author Lovon said, Vayan Lovon Vayimel Yaakov, that's Posik Mem Gimel, Habonis Neisai, Vabonim Bonai, Vatsun Tseni, Bichol Asher Tereya Liru, Bilid Neisai Moese, Lohile Hayeim, Ulid Neen Asher Yolodu, the atom of the Nichris of Ries and Nivoto, the Hoyolei, Beni, Benecho, Vayika Fiatif Evan, Vayrimel Matebo, Vayima Yakov Lecho, Likta Bonim, Vayikra Bonim, Vayasugol, Vayeku Shamalagol, Vayikol Lovon Yigas Haduso, Vyakov Paul Yigali, Vayima Lovon Hadalaze, Beni, Beni Hoyei, Alkin Borosh Moigali, Vyamitspo Asharoma, Yitzit Adishem Beni Venecho Kimisosa Vishmereyu Im Tiamez Neisai Im Tikach Noshim Av Neisai Im Nishimonu Rei Alikim Eid Beni Venecho Vadim Alobon Yaakov Kini Agal Aze Vini Amativa Ashiro Visi Beni Venecho Eid Agal Aze Deid Amativo Im Oni Lo Yever Elechas Agal Aze Vim Ato Lissaber Elayis Agal Aze Vesalativ Aziz Lero Alikei Avrom Velehei Nocheir Yishpitu v'neinu Elehei Aviem Vayishova Yaakov Bifachadov Yitzchok. Rashi says Elekei Avrom Zekedesh Elehei Nocheir, that's Heil. Yishpitu v'neinu Elehei Aviem. Who was Dav? Terach. Who was Terach? He believed in the Rebbein Shalom. No, his name is Elilim. So it's Heil. So he tried to involve Yaakov in the concept and in the endeavor of ecumenical council, ecumenism, Elekei Avrov, Hei Nochei, Yishvet Vareino, interfaith, endeavor. He was the inventor. I don't know why no one gives him credit. We have to be Emir Dovah B'Shem Emrei. He was the one who invented the idea of ecumenism, of interfaith. Not the Reform rabbis, not the Catholic Church, love on. But what did Yaakov say? Vayishova Yaakov bifachadov Yitzchok. Yaakov didn't want to have any conflict with Lavon. You want to pursue the endeavor of ecumenism? That's your business. You want to pursue the endeavor of interfaith between the different denominations in the Christian faith, between Catholics, Protestants, Methodists, Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox. That very situation has nothing to do with us. But don't involve me. Vayishova Yaakov v'fachadol Yitzchak. I cannot be involved in the endeavor of ecumenism. What has been the shite of the Knesset Yisrael throughout the ages, as it was laid down by the Nevi'im and expressed by Micho in Perek Daled, Chichol Amin Yelchu Ish B'Shem El Hov V'Anachnu Nelech B'Shem Ad Yishem El Kenu Leilam Voed. They want ecumenism, fine. We have nothing to do with that. We have nothing to do. The approach of the Knesset Yisrael throughout the ages has been one of tolerance towards other faiths. But Anachnu Neler B'Shem Ad Yishem El Kenu Leilam Voed V'Yishov Yaakov B'Pachad Obid Yitzchok. No ecumenism. There cannot be any dialogues between the Jews and Christians. There cannot be any dialogues between Maminim B'Teo, who say Moish Emes B'Teo Si Emes, and those who send out letters. I received it from a prominent Reform rabbi. I don't want to mention him. He's one of the giants. The veiling of the formal. Anybody wants to know the name, I'll mention it to him privately. But I don't want to mention his name. One of the giants. So he writes in the personal message. He addresses himself, of course, to his colleagues, not to me. He says that the most important thing this Passover is to counteract the negative attitude that some of our Jews have taught the gay people, and to counteract the hysteria that is overtaking the American people because of the danger of AIDS. This was the personal message from this giant in the Reform movement. We'll have dialogues with him. In order to have a dialogue, there has to be a common denominator. What kind of a common denominator can there be between Jews, Shleimei Emunei Yisrael, and conservative rabbis and reform rabbis? We have to say, as Yaakov says, Vayishova Yaakov b'pachad obed Yitzchak. We are not going to have any dialogues with anybody. We are not going to have any dialogues with the Christian faith. But our approach towards the Christians and the Muslims is, as it was pointed out, expressed by Micho, Tichol Amin Yeruchu Yish B'Shem El Hov V'Anachnu Nelech B'Shem Adishem Elekeinu Leilam Voed. As far as the former rabbis, conservative rabbis, of course, the American Republic is granted to liberty for all. Liberty for the Moonies too. So they too have freedom under the Constitution of the United States. But dialogues with them? Will we agree? Will Catholics agree to have a dialogue with the Moonies? And I read one drosha that my brother Rolf sent to the Stavros Rabbanim. He wasn't able to come. And there he says, could you imagine that the Republican Convention, they would invite the leaders of the Communist Party to have a dialogue in the Republican Convention as to whether the American constitutional system is the right one, or perhaps it should be replaced by the communist regime. Could you imagine that? If somebody would suggest that, he would be considered off his mind. And still, we are ready to have dialogues with conservative rabbis. Why? Because it has an appeal to the ignorant masses. But this is your communism. And Vayishova Yaakov b'pachad Yitzchok, pachad David Yitzchok. I'm not giving you the chochet. I am just evaluating the accomplishments and the achievements of Yitzchok Rabin. And believe me, I am a great friend of the Yitzchok Rabin, because Adam Korov asked me, I consider myself as part of you. I am a member of other organizations, of other Levinic organizations, but I am more devoted to the Yitzchok Rabin than to any other Levinic organization, simply because I am closer to you. And also because the Yitzchok Rabin, more than any other rabbinic organization, and I'm sure that there will be many rabbinim who will resent this statement, but I'm going to say it anyway, has the potential of becoming the revenant, the revenant of American joy. It has the potential, but it has to live up to the challenge. Because they know how to talk to Americans, to American Jews who are raised in an unorthodox background. They know more than anybody else how to reach out to the total Jewish community, but not through ecumenism, not through dialogues, by adhering to firm principles, by adhering to the principle of Vayishova Yaakov b'pachad David Yitzchok. I'm not saying any techocha. I'm not saying any techocha even to myself. I'm just speaking aloud. And if you want to call it techocha, all right. I don't want to argue over semantics. So then, I would like to use the expression that was used by the Ramban in his Akdome to his Peyush and Chumash. So he says, Bim Harav, Rav Avrom ibn Ezra, Tiyalonu techachas migulo, Li Avo misuteres. And if you want to call it a choche, I don't call it a choche. If you want to call it a choche, so I can also say, Iman an hove shal istaros rabonim, tia lanu, techachas migulo di avo misteres. The Ramban, when he wrote his Asogis and the Reef, he was 19 years old, and the Reef was considered as the God Lador, the Rabban Shal Yisrael, all over the world, in Sfard, in Ashkenaz. So the Bnei Yir of the Golan Moyer wanted to ostracize him, to expel him from the city for the chutzpah he had. 19-year-old boy is massive against the Reef, such chutzpah, such a bad. So he writes that. He said, he wants to quote what Rabbi Yehuda ibn Janach wrote in his Akdome to his book in Digduk, in which he was Masik and Rabbi Yehuda Chayuj. So he says, So Rabin Ibn Janach says, Uchvoro Marisi Hafilzo, Ehiva Palton, Veso Emes Eid Yesa Mikulom. And this is a universal expression in all languages. In Latin, it goes as follows, Amicus Plata, sed migas, amica veritas. I love Plato, I am a friend of Plato, but above all, I am the love of the truth. So I can also say, Amicus, the Hanole of the Stavros Rabbanim, but sed amigas, amica veritas. The truth I love more than anything else. I want to acknowledge the great accomplishments of the Stavros Rabbanim. The Stavros Rabbanim, in my opinion, is the only religious organization that takes an interest in the welfare of all its chaverim. And I'm also a beneficiary of that interest that the Hanhole of the Stavros Rabbanim takes in all the chaverim. I want to acknowledge openly now the interest that Rabbi Israel Klavan Zecheinu Livracha took in me years ago, 14 years ago, when I had trouble in Chicago. My son-in-law Rabbi Marcus mentioned. So at that time, he joined Hagoyen Rabbi Moshe Feinstein Zecheinu Livracha in helping me and in trying to solve the problems that I had in Chicago. Unfortunately, because of the Sinas Chinom that overtook then certain people in Orthodox Jewry, and which still overtakes certain segments in Orthodox Jewry. So all the persevering efforts by Hagoyim Rabbi Moshe Feinstein Zecheinu Livracha and by Rabbi Klavan Zecheinu Livracha were futile, but he tried. So many times he came to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein's home to discuss how could they help me. And I also want to acknowledge the present administration of the Stavros Rabbanim, Rabbi Wolfish. He walks in the paths, in the footsteps of Rabbi Klavan, and he too tries to help out all the chaverim. And many times when I have a problem, I call up Rabbi Wolfish. Only Sunday I called up Rabbi Wolfish because of a personal problem I had. But that doesn't mean that I should abstain from expressing myself. Sed migas, amica veritas. Above all, I love the truth. The Balamoya quoted that same by the philosophers. From my father Zechem Livroche, I heard once in Pshat, there is a posik in Mishaye, Pirik Nun Aleph, posik Chof Aleph, Lochein, Shim Zoy Samiyo, Shchuras Loyim Yoyim. Hearken, you miserable, that has reference, he's directing himself to Bassian, to the Jewish people, who is intoxicated, but not from wine. It's not itna, it's ishvach, my father said. There is an adage in Yiddish, was ba'nichtan ilafen lung, is ba'shikan lafen zung. Whatever is on the lungs of a sober person is on the tongue of a drunkard. Why? Because an intoxicated person is not inhibited. He has no inhibitions. A Jew sometimes has to act like a drunkard, but not a shikamyoin, a shikaloimyoin. I have to give end to my feelings because I am part of you. And then there's another reason as to why I feel impelled to give in to my feelings and to some of the mistakes that are done by the Stavros Rabbanim. There is a halacha in the Rambam, Perek Yudgimul Milchesh Bogis. There is a din in the parasha of Par Helen Dovashal Sibo. If Besna Godel renders a decision that Chilat is Muta, because they think that Alpidin is Muta, and then Osu Rivakol Alpiem, so then the call, the individual Jews who are Chilat, they don't have to bring the call. But Besdin is mechuyev to bring the korban through each chevet, bringing the par. That's par helen davar shel tzibur. So the Rambam in the Gimel Milchesh Bogis, it's really based upon Mishnah in Herius, says that if one or few members of the Besdin, so were present when the Beis Ma'abodul discussed the question whether Chilev is Mutar or not, and they knew that the Beis Din, that the majority of the Beis Din is making a mistake, but they remained silent. They didn't say, they didn't give in to their opinion, so then the Beis Din is highly called. But if one of them speaks out, even though he's overruled, so then the Beis Din is not chayev in par helen davar shel tzibur. And the Karmel and Herius points out that it's only if the Beis Din consists of exactly ayin aleph hiskei. Why? But if the Beis Din consists of more than ayin aleph hiskei, let's say 80 hiskei, 100 hiskei, then the Beis Din is chayev, even if a few members speak out against the view of the majority. What's the pshat? Because the Genesis at first said that Meyosh Yoshvu Leheres, and then one of them did not agree with the psak, but he was silent, so the Beis Din is not chayev. Because we don't say Rube Tikule in case of a mistake. We don't say Rube Tikule. So that is only if in Shosak. But if, and if Meir Yoshua Leire, so even if somebody said that they are making a mistake, so they are still hired. But if Ayin Aleph, if they are just Ayin Aleph members in the Beis Din HaGadol, and then, if one of them knows that the Beis Din made a mistake and he's silent, so then we say Rube Tikule, because he's at fault. Why didn't he speak out? But if he did speak out, except that he was overruled, so then he's not overruled. And if he's not, then he's not at fault. He was just overruled by the majority. So how can the Beis Din be chayev a par helen davar shel tzibur only if the whole Beis Din HaGadol passes the Chilev is Mutar? But if the mute is silent, then it's considered as if they concurred, because they shouldn't have remained silent. But if the mute speaks out, except that they are overruled, how can we say Rube Kikule that the opinion of the Rav is attributed to the mute when the mute spoke out? Until now, I was never invited to speak in this Sabbath. I wanted to be invited. I was waiting, but I was never invited. Last time I was invited was 28 years ago. My brother, the Rav, was not well. He was in the hospital. He had an operation, so then I invited. And for the last 28 years, I've been waiting for an invitation, and it doesn't come forth. Finally, an invitation came forth. So I gladly accepted it. So, if I'm not invited, how can I come? The Gemara says in Tzachim, Shleisha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Seinom. One of the three is, HaNichnas LiBeisei Pisei. Not only Beis Chavere. Beis Chavere goes without saying. But even LiBeisei, it's not nice, it's not tactful to come uninvited into your own house. The Sfaros Rabbonim I consider as my own bais. I remember of it. Yisraelus Rabbonim has helped me, but I am ready to help Yisraelus Rabbonim too. But I wasn't invited. I couldn't come. Now, so I couldn't speak out, but now that I'm invited, if I will remain silent. So every decision by the Stalus Rabbanim, even if I disapprove of it, will be attributed to me to our name. I don't know whether some of the statements that are made by the Hanover of the Stalus Rabbanim has the approval of the majority of the Stalus Rabbanim or not. But even if it has, If one Yochid disapproves of a certain statement and he remains silent when he's there and he's in a position to speak out, then this decision of the Stalus Rabbanim is attributed to me too, because of Rubik Kikule. And I consider the Stalus Rabbanim at least as the potential Besdin of American Jew. I say potential because unfortunately, many times the Stalus Rabbanim does not live up to the mandates that are incumbent upon it. But potentially, it is the Besdin of American Jewry more than any other rabbinic organization. The fact that other Rabbanim will resent that statement doesn't matter. This is how I feel, this is the truth. But I have to speak out, and I have to tell you, and it hurts me that I have to tell you, I have to speak out against the recent unity message that was signed by the Hanhole of the Stalus Rabbanim together with the president of the Rabbinical Assembly and the president of the Central Conference of American Rabbis. And I'm especially sensitive to the fact that one of the sublime hashkofes of my brother the Rov was used as a basis for this unity message. First of all, I was upset by the quote from the Novi Malachi of Ozni Biru Yiri Adishem, Nishal Reyeyu. Ozni Biru Yiri Adishem, Nishal Reyeyu, Vayakshif Adishem, Vayishma, Vayikosei Bisseifer, Zikorein, Lifono, Yiri Adishem, Ulechesh Rishmei. I don't think that this passage has application. I don't think that the president of the Rabbinical Assembly, I don't know him. I never met him, I don't even remember his name. And I don't know the president of the Central Conference of American Rabbis, but they're not Jewish. They're not Jewish. And then, unity message with heads of the reform movement. After all, it's in connection with Pesach, Chirus, and we see that as far as Chirus is concerned, so there is a pasuk, Kolol Yechal Bei, not in Andrew even, a humanitarian angel can participate in the Korban Pesach and not the Yisrael movement. How can a head of the reform movement and the head of the conservative movement participate together with the leadership of the Stalus Rabbanim that has the potential of being the best of American Jewry? It hurts me. We say in the Haggadah, Kol dichvin yeisei v'yeichayu, Kol ditzrich yeisei v'yifsach. I read a remarkable explanation by Rav Matisyo, the brother of the Shibeles Aleket. Why do we say twice? Kol dichvin yesed eichel, whoever is hungry, let him come in and eat. Kol dichrich, whoever is needy, let him come and participate in the Pesach. So he explains it in a remarkable way, and we should be motivated by that hashkofa, which is not hashkofa of ecumenism, of dialogues, but of generosity towards all peoples, Jew and non-Jew. He says the Jews were accustomed to open the doors of their houses and to tell everybody, whoever wants to celebrate Pesach, and say, let him come in. So all the paupers, all the Jewish paupers, came in. Then the Gentile paupers, they saw Jewish paupers are coming into the Jewish home. The doors are open. They also came into the home. They saw the sit down and they celebrate the Seder. They weren't interested in Agote, but in the Knevlach, they were interested. So they too came in. So then Chachmi Yisrael, Rabbi Matisyo, said, the father of Yisrael Rekin, Chachmi Yisrael said, Chas Yisrael, to tell a Gentile, a poor Gentile, this is a Seder, you are not Jewish, you can celebrate with us Pesach. That would be inconsistent with the concept of Dr. Sholem and the concept of generosity. Tevlai Shem Lakeil, the Racham of Chokom Ma'asov. The Rambam says at the end of Hilchos Melachim, Afilo Yit Jehovim, even regard to pagans, Omru Chachomim, Sheon Chayovim, Mikveres Niseyem, Umlachem Es Abeleyem, Ulfan Es Aniyem, Shenema Tevlai Shem Lakeil, the Racham of Chokom Ma'asov, to tell Gentile poor, no, it's not for you, that is inconceivable. But to celebrate Pesach together, together with non-Jews, that is inconceivable too. True! But find the Heta. Heta Meir Rabbani. There is a Gemara Mefreshes in Shochin. Alor Eliecho Bei, Bein Eichel. Avolecho b'matzu more, you can find the Heta. But it's not the proper way to look for a tale. It's just inconceivable to celebrate the Seder together with non-Jew. All right, Secretary Schultz celebrates Seder in Soviet Russia. I mean, something else, a special situation. But in America, to celebrate the Seder with non-Jews, it's not the Jewish way. But to tell the Gentile poor, you can't celebrate with us, you can't eat, that's also impossible. So a solution was found, what modern people call a modus vivendi. But that's a modus vivendi that conforms to the halacha. So a solution was found to make two shifts. One, a meal, a seder, without the Haggadah, just for Melech, and that will satisfy all the Gentile poor. And then, after they left, so then they had another shift. They say there with Haggadah and Melech. So that's why we say, so the Chachamim instituted the practice. Call the Chvin Yisrael, whoever is hungry, Jew, not Jew, don't make any difference. Drug addict, everybody. Who is hungry has to come and eat. But then, so, the Jewish poor, they knew. They didn't come in the first year. They knew it's not for them. So who can eat? All the Gentile poor. Then, after they were finished with the Knevlach, it didn't take a long time because there was no Agode. So then another proclamation was issued. Call the Tzrich, Yesid Yisrael, to issue joint Passover unity message together with reform leaders is inconceivable. And it's inconsistent with the approach of Knesset Yisrael throughout the millennia. So, this is one hasoge that I have against the unity message that was issued by the Stanus Hammer. I have another son, and no one should feel hurt. I heard from my brother at home that the greatest chosid of the Rambam, says no one knows, but the greatest chosid of the Rambam was not the Middle Ages. You know, everybody thinks the Middle Ages was the greatest chosid of the Rambam. The greatest chosid of the Rambam, my father said, was the Raivet. Imagine the Raivet, such a giant. So he read every word of the Rambam. In those days, he thought it was a simple thing. Today, he had to print. It's relatively easy. But to read it, yeah, every word. And he was Masi. He was the greatest admirer of the greatest chosid of the Rambam. More than the Middle Ages. But the Middle Ages was not objective. He always agreed with the Rambam. Tamani yotzozem pi akodim shalayim. But the Raivet was more objective. I am a great chassid of this Rambam. And I read every word of the unity message. And it hurt me. And I had a sogis. And I want to comply with the saboye, with the silent saboye of my father. I consider it in the silence of Boye. Shimi zoi sanio shchura sloi miyoyim. So I'll mention all my other asogi. One asogi is why the passage of Ozni Gurujiri and Shem was mentioned in conjunction with the statement that is issued by the leadership of the Reform Rabbinate and Kosovo. The other asogi is because the message of freedom that he hears in the holiday of Pesach is a unique type of freedom, and it is not to be equated with the concept of freedom that is professed by other peoples. When you join the leaders of the Reform movement and the leaders of the conservative movement, then in effect, you acknowledge their concept of freedom. That this, of course, has been shown. No one in the Stalus Rabboni means that. You are all interested in Sholem, but it's a mistake. Today, the general public will get the impression that you and the head of the Reform movement and the head of the conservative movement have the same concept of freedom as they. And that's a terrible thing. If people get that impression, they'll get a false image of the Stalus Rabboni. And this is why the Baal Hagodeh, which is in Chilpe, emphasizes, and the Rambam is madgish there, who sheyarbe bitra shel aram yidov. Why? Because what was the flaw in Lavan's endeavor? Lavan was aspiring towards ecumenism, interfaith. That was his only flaw. Except for that, what else did he do? What else did he do? He was devoted to his daughter. He was devoted to Yaakov too. But Lavan wanted a pluralistic society. Pluralistic society. He said, Elikei Avram, Velhei Nocheir, Yish Bitu Benenu. Why only the Aloche? Why only the Aloche? In Chicago. So I have a problem, and this is my tiny, not against the Stalus Rabboni. Stalus Rabboni is not in trouble. That's my tiny against the Kanoim. The Kanoim who consider it, some Kanoim who consider it as one of the mitzvot nidyes. The Sefer HaRedim says that according to some Rishonim, there are six chiras that we have to mention and emphasize every day. In every city I have it. The six chiras zoches hashosu lachamolei, yishomu ocho, פנציש כך לדבר אשרו עונך ויסור מובך ומחייך זוכר יש אשרו של שמותך ומיריום בדרך זה סנספאי זכר אותו אין סיק סחירס אין איבן סחירס מדי וקבול אליי like the pussy mayo atzolecho bolok in the pussy to micho and in the shkoch yerushalayim tishke achimi so you have six chiyas there are some kanoim who think that it's a mitzvah to remember every day and to mention the avles of the Yisraelis Chabad. And these kanoim, Davke, are fighting to accommodate the conservative rabbis and conservative there, which in my opinion is at the core of all the trouble we have in Israel. One reform rabbi in Chicago, who happens to be a gentleman, he said to me, because there is one man in Chicago who was demonstrating against the Orthodox Rabbonim who allowed conservative rabbis to carry out gales in the mikveh. He was using a microphone, so he was speaking through a microphone. So then they brought suit against him and they had him arrested twice. So I went to court to testify on behalf of that Lubavitcher Hossein who demonstrated. So then people from the press came over to me and they came over to the reform rabbis and the conservative rabbis. So I told them that I am outraged by the fact that they had a someone who demonstrated against the use of the Orthodox mikveh for conservative conversion, because I think it's a violation of the concept of civil rights. I know that people demonstrate every week against President Reagan, and people are allowed, and they are not arrested. So people are allowed in this country to demonstrate against President Reagan and call him all kinds of names, fascist, and one is not allowed to demonstrate against conservative rabbis. I think it's a violation of the civil rights. Then they approached a reform rabbi and the conservative rabbi. And you know what the answer that they gave? The answer that they gave was, we also believe in the halacha, but they said about me, Rabbi Soloveitchik believes that the halacha has a veto power. They believe in the halacha, but not that the halacha has a veto power. That was their answer. And so, this is not my complaint against the Yisraelis Chabonim. The Yisraelis Chabonim is not at fault for the fact that our mikvahs are used for conservative girls, but at fault are the Rabbonim, the Kanoim, who criticize the Yisraelis Chabonim every day. But they too are fighting for all kinds of devices not to exclude conservative rabbis from using the Orthodox mikvahs for conservative girls, even though they know very well that as a result of our mikvahs being used for conservative girls, so the Knesset Yisrael is being contaminated with spurious Jews. And one reform rabbi said to me, and I had no answer, he said, look at the Orthodox Rabbonim, they fight so much against the reform gerim in Israel, and here they allow us to use their mikvahs. So he said to me, you know why? Because they get money from it, and they are afraid that their yeshivas and their Besyakov schools will not get any support from the conservative and reformed Jews, as if the conservative and reformed Jews had been supporting. And suppose they had been supporting, is that an excuse? And I read in the paper that the president of Mishtaros Rabbonim, Rav Moshe Polin. So he said that 30,000 gayos take place in the United States, and out of the 30,000 gayos a year that take place in the United America, 28,000 gayos are handled by Reform and Conservative rabbis. Only 2,000 are handled by Orthodox rabbis, and no one says anything about it. But this is not my asoge against the Israelis Rabbonim. This is my asoge against the Rabbonim Kanoim, not against the Israelis Rabbonim. But I have another asoge against the Israelis Rabbonim. The fact that they used a sublime thought of my father the Rav, of the two covenants, the covenant of faith and the covenant of faith, as the basis for the text of the unity message. And I was very upset with that. Now, and I want to mention, I said at the beginning that I'm not worthy to say the Chochmah, because if my grandfather Reb Chaim said that he's not worthy, so how can the peace of the light of the time work? If the Gemara says, if the Talmud says, "Mo'an engage b'der azeh mishyedia le'achia," so how can I be worthy to give the Chochmah? But the Rambam spells out that there are two kinds of the Chochmah. Now I want to read from the Rosh Hashanah Rambam. Yes. Mitzvah Rishay, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Ki Shetzibonu Leichiach HaChetei, Oy Mishayir Tzelachtei, Vilimnei Ha'isei Mimeno Bimam HaRatichocho, Vim Roi Shiyim HaRachar Shani Leichdo, Im Yechda Acher Zolotzi, Marim Alikov, Zehetach HaToro, Aber Anachnu Mitzulim Shalei Nechdo, Vishalei Nazif Zoloseinu Mumaseinu, Sheyamre, ומשתדר להמריס חיום אמנו להכיחי ולהשיבי ואף אופי שלא יוצא עליו עדס וחייב עליו דין ואומרי יישא להכיח תחיל הסמיסה זה מצווה פתחות ונכנס בציבו הזה שנכיח קצוסינו וקצוסינו כי יחדו איש ממנו לאיש ולא ניתה בלבובינו ולא נחש בלויובין אבל מסתבינו להכיחי במאמה actually show your double benefit. So the Rambam says that there are two aspects in the mitzvah of the Chayach Tichilas HaMitzvah. One aspect is if a Jew commits an aveira, whether it's not mocking or not l'chaveirei, but if it's not l'chaveirei, not against, let's say, Shimon commits an aveira of not l'chaveirei against Levi. So Reuven is mechuyef to be mechiyachim. Whether and if Shimon commits an aveira of not remarking is Mechal Shabbos, is Trefes, is Mechuyef Mechiyachi. In respect to this aspect of the Choche, so there is a Aloche that he has, his Keshi should be Keshi. He has to be worthy to be a Mechiyachi. Sure. Not every person is worthy. He has to be Behuma Madrego, a Tzadik Omo, in order to be qualified to give the Choche to a person who does not fulfill a certain. But then there is another aspect. He says, "V'nichnas b'tzivu hazeh shenichiach k'tzoseinu l'k'tzoseinu, ki yichotin yichdo ish mimenu ish v'linoter b'lvabeinu v'linachshiv l'lobin avon istabinu l'yichichin b'mama achil yishoyah dova b'nefesh." And it is interesting that the Rambam in Hilches Deyes Halacha Vov, so he says, "Ki sheyachto yish liish lo yistimenu v'yishtei kmo shenemar b'rishoyim v'lo yidiber avsholim mesamnei yumo l'mirav ateit ki yisna avsholim mesamnei elo mitzvah olof leidiei d'leim alei lomo osisa li kach
ולמה חטוס לי בידוד הפלאים, שנמה ויחיח תחיח סמסכו, במחוז הרבית ישמנו למחלי, צורך למחל, ולהי עמי חיל ארזורי, שנמה ויספאו אברום מלוויתים, בן הלוח זיין סייז, הורי החברי שחוטו, ושהולר בדרך לא יתאיבו, מצווה להחזיר אלימותו, ולדירי שורכי תל עצמי עם מעשו ברואים, שנמה ויחיח תחיח סמסכו. So the Rambam mentions in our Chazayim the mitzvah of Tichoche, if one Jew doesn't have a no mokim or chavere, so then he's mechuyas to mechiyachim. And then, but there we have a prerequisite. He has to be beruma madrego. His keishu should be keishu. If he's not a tzadigomul, he's not worthy to give Tichoche. But then in our Chavob, he discusses another aspect of Tichoche. If, let's say, Shimon does something which is not an Avera, but Reuven kills her because of a good relationship he has had with him for years, he feels her. Let's say sometimes a person marries off his daughter and he has friends who expect to be invited and they're not invited, so they feel resentment, they feel hurt. Did he commit any Avera? Is it clear to invite? He can invite whomever he wants to invite, but that person, the friend of his, expected to be invited, and he will get invited. So if he harbors that grievance in his heart and he doesn't tell him, he's mivatil nesei of v'chiyach v'chiyach es hamisach. And I heard from my father, the Gemara says in Gittin, strange Gemara, al kamtze uba kamtze chol av Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was destroyed because of Kamtzen Vakamtzen. What happened? There was a certain person who made a card, so he told the Shliach to invite Kamtzen. And the Shliach made a mistake, so he went to the wrong place and he invited Vakamtzen. So Vakamtzen came to the party. The host, he saw Vakamtzen, the party, he says, who invited you here? So he said, you invited me. I didn't invite you. So he said, all right, but now don't insult me. Let me stay. I'll pay you for the whole meal for all time. He said, no, get out. So he was insulted in the presence of everybody, Vakamtse. And Vakamtse went to the Roman authorities. He denounced the Jewish people. And because of that, so Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim was destroyed. And the Lord says, oh, come to say, Bar, come to say, all of your life. Everybody read this question. Because Bar comes in the town. And he contributed towards the destruction of your life. The host also did the terrible thing. But come to say, what did come to do? He was purely innocent. So the Lord should say, Al Balabais, Bar, come to say, all of your life. What is come to say? He's innocent. So my father said, no, nothing. Kamtze was a big friend of the host. How is it that he wasn't invited? Well, then, so he was invited. It was a mistake by the Shliach. The Shliach made a mistake. So then Kamtze heard. He knew, I mean, they didn't have newspapers in those days, but they knew what went on. So he knew that Bar Kamtze was there, and Kamtze was, and he was not invited. So he harbored a grievance against him. Why did he harbor a grievance against him? He should have gone to the host. Said to the host, listen, I'm such a good friend of yours. I always invite you to my bar. How is it that you didn't invite me to your party? What has happened? Did I do anything wrong to you? Tell me. Why? Why do you feel so hostile to me? Had he done that, he would have been kind of mitzvah. So then, everything would have been smooth. And then the host would have found out that the Shliach made a mistake. He would have rectified the mistake. And he would have notified Bar Kamtze not to come. And then Yerushalayim would not have been destroyed. But Kamtze did not fulfill the mitzvah of Chiyach HaMisach. So, because of that, Kamtze will be Kamtze HaMisach. In other words, so there are two aspects in the mitzvah of Chiyach Tichiyach. One aspect of Chiyach Tichiyach is to give the chochet to the Jew who doesn't have Eretz. For that, you have to be in Bihuma Madrege, you have to be in superior being. It's Adi Gomor. My grandfather at Chaim didn't think he was on that level. How can I have the chutzpah and have his all the night of the time and that level to give Musa to anybody? But then there is another aspect. If somebody does something that I feel upset, didn't do anything, right? But I feel upset with it. So I have to tell you, otherwise, I'll be back in the midst of a I was very upset by the fact that the written message of this house of one to whom I'm so devoted, he mentioned the hashkote of my brother about the two brisos, the two covenants, the covenant of faith and the covenant of faith. And as a basis for the unity message, that's abusing my brother's sublime hashkote. And that I feel I have to give the chochet, not on account of the mitzvah of the chochet, of being mechiyach to someone who did an avera. No, you didn't commit an avera, you made a mistake. But I was upset. So this is my brother's covet. And my brother's covet, so that means that I myself feel upset and I don't want to harbor any grievance against him. Because my brother's sublime hashkofe was abused so that people will think that my brother is in favor of dialogues with reform and conservative rabbis. And for this I have to be mechiyach. Not on the score of the mitzvah of the choche. When one Jew doesn't have avera, you didn't do any avera, you just made a mistake. But on account of the other aspect of the mitzvah of the choche. In the same way as Kamtze was mechuyev to be mechiyach, the host, thereby preventing a catastrophe to Kalukal Yisrael. So because of that, I feel impelled to give you the choche on the score of that aspect of the choche. And what upset me more than anything else, that a certain rabbi who under the guise of unity in Kalukal Yisrael, so wrote in his paper, and he sent me in every paper. I don't know why he sent it in to me, I don't know. I'm glad that he sent it in to me, because if he didn't, I wouldn't know what goes on in the world. So now I know at least what goes on in the world. So he sent in his paper, that rabbi who considers himself as an Orthodox rabbi, and everybody designates him as an Orthodox rabbi, but as a non-fundamentalist Orthodox rabbi. In other words, the Orthodox rabbonim like Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Rabbi Yachiel Kamenetsky, they are fundamentalists. But this rabbi is an Orthodox rabbi, but he's a non-fundamentalist. What fundamentalist means, I don't know, but I know that some modern people call Yatil HaKomeini fundamentalist and Rav Moshe Feinstein. So he is considered as a non-fundamentalist Orthodox rabbi. So he congratulates the Stavros Rabbanim for issuing that statement, that's an accomplishment, and he claims credit for it in the paper. He congratulates, but he criticizes. He criticizes the statement. He said that Stavros Rabbanim mentioned the concept of two covenants, which was expressed by Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik, but they made one mistake. Instead of emphasizing the two covenants, they should emphasize the two levels of one covenant, the covenant of faith, not the covenant of faith. In other words, the covenant of faith should not be mentioned altogether, but just the covenant of faith. But there are two levels in the covenant of faith, because covenant of faith expresses the idea that there is one destiny for all Jews, Orthodox, Reform, Conservative, but he is emphasizing another point that was not spelled out by Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik, that the covenant of faith implies not only that every Jew as an individual shares the same destiny of any other Jew, but every movement in the Jewish people, Reform movement, Reconstructionist movement, I don't understand why it doesn't mention Jews for Jesus. I don't understand. Every movement is entitled to recognition and to dignity as a movement, so the movement of Jews for Jesus are also entitled. As a matter of fact, in the same paper, I read a statement by the head of the Reconstructionist movement, I don't know her name, but curiously, but not coincidentally, she happens to be a lady. I don't remember her name. So she criticized the Stavros HaRabbonim as to why they did not include her in the statement. Oh, she's the head of the Reconstructionist movement. She's right. She's right. 100%. She has a good case. Why isn't she entitled to the same recognition as the head of the Reform movement, as the head of the Conservative movement? It's discriminatory. It's not democratic. She is right. And in my opinion, if the head of the Reform movement is entitled, so the head of Jews for Jesus is also entitled. We have to draw the conclusions of these premises that upset me more than anything else, because many an ignorant reader of this newspaper will get the impression that my brother the Rov is behind this idea of collaboration with the Reform movement and the Conservative movement. And because of that, I feel impelled by the mitzvah of Echiach Techiach HaTamisecho. And I don't want to commit the same mistake that was committed by Kamtze. Kamtze wants to be a gentleman. Not to say, it's not nice. After all, he's not obligated to invite me. He didn't commit any avera, but he harbored a grudge against him. I don't want to harbor a grievance against these towns I want. I am part of you. And I want to mention it. And then I want to elaborate on my brother's hashkofe of the two covenants. This is Teiras Emes, but it was misconstrued and abused by the statement that was issued by the Stavros HaRabbonim together with the Reform movement and the Conservative movement. Of course there are two covenants. There is the covenant of faith and there is the covenant of faith. The covenant of faith is the Bris Rishenim that is based upon the Kabbalah Seir Malach HaShamayim. The covenant of faith is part of the Brisodes. Now the Pasuk says in Brekesai, Vizocharti es Brisi Yaakov, Viafes Brisi Yitzchok, Viafes Brisi Avrom, Esker, Vioretz Esker. So the Tereskian says, Vioretz Esker, Milamei Che Bris Chusol Eretz. The Brisodes is the covenant of faith. The Bris Rishenim is the covenant of faith. How is the Bris Obeis a covenant of faith? because the Pasuk says, V'zocharti es prisi Yaakov, V'yaf es prisi Yitzchok, V'yaf es prisi Avrom Esker, V'yoretz Esker. How come that the Torah mentions Esker in connection with this Yaakov? The Torah mentions Esker in connection with this Avrom, but the Torah does not mention Esker in connection with this Yitzchok. V'zocharti es prisi Yaakov, V'yaf es prisi Yitzchok. But not the Alphys Brisi Yitzchok Eskeya. The Alphys Brisi Avrom Eskeya. The Oretz Eskeya. So Rashi, that's also from Tiraskini, says, Avol Yitzchok Vihuskova Eskeya. Mitnish Afri Shel Yitzchok. Sobo Al Gabi HaMizbeach. In other words, a covenant is a contract. There are two kinds of contracts. There is a contract, a bilateral contract. Bilateral contract means the two parties make promises. One party makes a promise to do one thing, and the other party makes a promise to do the other thing. And then there is a unilateral contract. And sometimes, so, the priests of Rome is a unilateral, is a bilateral contract. Of course, the Rebbeinu Shor promises to redeem us, but every contract, every student of law knows, has to have consideration. What is the consideration for the Bris Avraham? The consideration consists in the children of Avraham, walking in the footsteps of Avraham. Not that the Benishon expects the children of Avraham to be like Avraham, but to have a mitzvah of the maisim of Avraham. But if Jews don't live up to the derech of Avraham, ki dati v'manashim tzaves, bonoges beisei, v'shomu achov, derech adishem lasit doko mishpot, so then the Benishon is abound. The Bris Yaakov is also a bilateral contract. In other words, the Rebbeinu Shor established the covenant of Yaakov that he will protect his children. But it has consideration. What is the consideration? If the children will walk in the footsteps of Yaakov. But Yitzchok, so it's not the bilateral contract. What is the consideration? The consideration of the crematoria, the gas chambers, in order to demand of the Rebbeinu Shalom that he should fulfill his promise in the Bris of Yitzchok, we don't have to show performance. We don't have to show performance. We only have to point out that you suffered. We have to point out the affair that is Tzobor al Gabi HaMizbeach. This is what my brother meant, the covenant of faith. Because all Jews share the same destiny. Hitler Yimach Shmei, it's true. Hitler Yimach Shmei sent to the gas chambers other Jews, Reformed Jews, assimilated Jews, communists, Buddhists, everybody. But the other conclusion that this rabbi draws, the covenant of faith implies not only that every Jew is to be recognized as a Jew, that's true. Yisrael Afop Shechot El Yisrael. Reb Chaim was Michal in Kippur to save the life of a Bundist. And I am declaring, I'm not like my grandfather Reb Chaim, but as much as I abhor the approach of certain reform rabbis and certain conservative rabbis, I am ready to risk my life to save the life of the leaders of the reform movement as individuals. Yes, they are entitled to recognition as human beings and even as Jews. Yisrael Afop Yishachot Yisrael. But movement should be entitled to recognition, and if I don't like to explain doubts, I think it's absurd, preposterous, to explain the Holocaust, because even though we are Mamin, Bnei Mamin, and we believe that everything has a purpose, but the purpose of the Holocaust, like the purpose of the Chum Vaishvishin, like the purpose of the Chum Vaisheni, are beyond the inquisitive grasp of the human mind. And even when they say Mashiach, we won't be able to understand the purpose of the Holocaust. Only Lachatrias Amazin, in the end of the days, then we'll be able to understand the purpose of Tzadik Virale, but not now. I don't like to explain the Holocaust. And because of that, whenever I read there is a discussion about the Holocaust, I become very upset. Because when somebody discusses the Holocaust, so there are two alternatives. Either he'll be in the Chari from Gavi, as it usually happens, or he'll say silly things, silly statements. Sometimes an Orthodox Rav tries to explain the Holocaust. So he says preposterous things. There is no way how to explain it. But since Rabbonim are pointing out as the remiss in the Holocaust that there is a covenant of faith, and some rabbis who call themselves Orthodox have the chutzpah to say that this concept of two covenants, which was enunciated by Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik, implies even more than Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik meant, that not only that Jews as individuals have to be recognized as Jews, but every movement has to be recognized as an important movement, and we should accord dignity to the movement. So I am going to find Rimozi in the Holocaust. I don't like to do it. It's true that Hitler, Yimach Shmei, sent to the Kamatoria assimilated Jews, reformed Jews, atheistic Jews, everybody. But there is one incident that I read. When the Nazis occupied Warsaw, so they visited the home of Professor Meir Wolleban. I know Meir Wolleban because Professor Meir Wolleban, he was not Mishawan. He didn't have our Hashpafes, but he was a great person, Professor Meir Wolleban. Professor Meir Wolleban was my father's house many times, so I remember him as a child. And they told Professor Meir Wolleban to do research and to determine as to whether the Karaites, the Nazis had a few thousand Karaites in their custody. So they wanted Meir Wolleban to determine whether they are Jewish or they're not Jewish. Of course, it goes without saying. One does not have to be historian. I'm not historian. But every Hebrew child knows that the Karaites are Jewish. They are Jewish. Karoim, they are Jewish. They are Zdukim, but they are Jewish. So he wrote a whole pamphlet. And there he tried to show, basis of amazing, for spurious historical data. He did it deliberately. He wanted to spare them, He did a wonderful thing. I would have done the same thing. Why not say then? Why not? We should let Hitler kill as many Jews as he can. So he deliberately drafted a historical paper in which he showed through spurious data that they're not Jews, and they were spared. Now, I don't like to find Rimozi in the Holocaust, but since this rabbi is finding the remez in the Holocaust to his idea that the covenant of faith implies
that all movements in Jewry are entitled to recognition and as important contributors to the future of Judaism, then I'll also find the answers. How is it that the Hashgacha manipulated? The dark of the Kabbalah should be spared. The Gera Hasidim were not spared. The Lubavitcher Hasidim were not spared. The Yeshiva Bochurim were not spared. The Jewish children of the Cheder were not spared. Who was spared? Who was spared? And atheistic Jews as individuals were not spared either. But who was spared? Reform Jews as a movement was spared. And if you want to find the remes in the Holocaust, so that should be remes. That while the covenant of faith implies that every Jew has to be recognized not only as a human being, but as a Jew. And the one is mechuyev to risk his life to save the life of the leader of the Reform Movement. Even if I had to risk my life to save the life of that giant Reform rabbi who was rebuking his colleagues for having a negative attitude towards the gay people, I would risk my life. But as a movement, Chas v'Shalom, as a movement that we should recognize. Now the Rambam is the one who says that the overwhelming majority of the Karaites do not have a din of Mumer, and we have to show them brotherhood and generosity like to any other Jew, because the Atzinik Shenishbo, still the Rambam says in Perikalef Milchas Aviles Yom HaKippurim Halocha Zayin Bimei Baisheini Tzotza Minus B'Yisrael B'Yotza Hazduki Mehero Yevedu She'ino Mamin Mitero Shebalpeh V'yoyo Imrim Shekteire Shal Yom HaKippurim Manichin Eiso Aloeish V'hir Chalchutz U'Pareiches U'Kshiyah Le'oshno Machnis Eiso Ritnim Ligilish HaKadoshim. So the Rambam, who says that we have to show brotherhood to all the Karaites because except for the leaders, but most of them, Atinik Shenishbo, how is it that he says Mehero Yevedo? The answer is, if it's a question of it's Duki as an individual, we have to show him killed. But Duki as a movement, Mehero Yevedo, and I am not that type of Ikanoye who will curse a human being. It's a terrible thing to curse. And I want to mention a tshuva that I read in the Torah journal in Israel, I don't remember the name, years ago. A tshuva from the Avni Nezer to a certain Hasidic Rebbe who was a Ikanoye. So that Hasidic Rebbe, in his letter to the Avni Nezer, referred to a certain Shume Yimachshmet. So the Adni Nezer recommended it. He says, how do you say Yimachshmet even to a Shume? You see, there's a positive Torah that if one dies and is not survived by children, so then his brother has to marry his wife. But Yimachshmet is one. And it's the most Rishonim say that even if his brother is in Shumet, is a mumer, you still, there is still zik. But you say Yimach Shmei. You say Yimach Shmei in respecting Shumet. Here the Torah says he has to marry his wife in order to Yimach Shmei in Israel, even though he's in Shumet. And you say Yimach Shmei in respecting Shumet. But here the Rambam says, Mehero Yevedo. The answer is, the Rambam says, Mehero Yevedo is a movement. And the Sfardim who say, in the Birkas HaMashim, V'chol Amin, Kerega Yevedo, Chas V'Sholem, that they mean to curse the men. They mean to curse the movement. So, how can we say, how can one say that the covenant of faith implies that Reformed Jews are entitled to recognition and to dignity, not only as individuals, but as a movement, Chas v'Sholem. And she mentions it in conjunction with the sublime thought that was enunciated by my brother. I'm upset with that, and this is why I speak out against it. And then I would like to say something else. I think that the Stavros Rabbani has to live up to the mandate that is incumbent upon it. Right now, the Reform rabbis are not fighting for equality. This is a deceptive trick by the Reform rabbis. They are not fighting for equality. They are trying to gain control over everything. They are trying to destroy the Rabbanut Torah under the guise of democracy and equality and pluralistic society. Now, we have the best rabbis. The Reform rabbis, conservative rabbis, they all speak in glorification of pluralistic society. How come that the Reform rabbis and the conservative rabbis prevailed upon the leadership of the Jewish agency to require a loyalty pledge as a prerequisite for any money for a yeshiva? Now, I'm not a member of the Torah Committee, and I'm not identified with the Torah Committee. In Yeshiva's brisk, the Israeli flag is displayed all days of the year, not after the Matzot. And I, with Shimon's Prince, and all the Talmudim, we say hello without the bar. And we don't say that. I'm not a member of the Torah Committee. But the chutzpah to require that every yeshiva that gets money from the agency, from the UGA money that is raised for institutions or educational institutions, not for Zionism, should make a pledge of loyalty to Zionism, and that they should undertake to display the Israeli flag on Yom HaAtzmaut and to sing Atikvah. Now, at the fairs of Yeshiva's place, we also sing Atikvah. But one change, I don't like the sentence Lili Sam Hofshi. So instead of Lili Sam Hofshi, we say Lili Sam Kodesh. And at one convention years ago, I said there is nothing wrong with that Atikvah, except that this sentence Lili Sam Hofshi is a repugnant expression. And one Rabbi Kanoi, who meant Lishim Shamayim, became so aroused that not only did he walk out of the convention in protest, but he tried to prevail upon many other rabbonim to walk out in protest against the terrible statement I made that there is nothing wrong in Atikvah except the one repugnant expression, Liyasam Chofshi. But he wasn't successful. No one walked out with him. He had to walk out all by himself. But I am not a Kanoi who is hostile to the Zionistic ideas, but the chutzpah to require a loyalty pledge as a prerequisite for any allocation. And who is demanding it? The Reform rabbis and the conservative rabbis. On one hand, the Amar Shilomes about a pluralistic society. On the other hand, any yeshiva that is not ready to make a loyalty pledge should be denied all help. Is that consistent with the idea of a pluralistic society? So why do they make a show of democracy and equality? They are not interested in democracy and equality. And I think that it is incumbent upon the Stavros Rabbani to leap up to the challenge and first to acknowledge the courage shown by the Rosh Yeshivas of the Hezda Yeshivas. They certainly could take disloyalty pledge more than anybody else, but they refused. They acted like Talmidei Chachamim, like courageous Jews. And I think it's incumbent upon these Talmidei Chachamim to condemn this resolution as being repugnant to the Torah. That goes without saying. But not only that, it's repugnant to the Torah. It's repugnant to the Torah. It's repugnant to morality. It is repugnant to every concept of democracy. It is repugnant to every concept of decency and fair play. They are trying to destroy Yados, to destroy the Rabbanut HaRashit. That's all. And let us look at the example shown by the Yiriyad Shem of the former generations. Now this passage was mentioned in the Unity Message, and this passage was out of place in the Unity Message that was issued by the Stavros Rabbonim together with the leadership of the Reform Movement and the Conservative Movement. But I want to mention what the Erev Yisrael, the Alter Rebbe, Rabbi Yehoshua, said. Why does the Novi Malachi say, Oz Nidberu Yiriyad Hashem? He should say, Oz Dibru Yiriyad Hashem. Why Oz Nidberu? Nidberu is Nifal. The answer is so that Rabbi Yehoshua Heschel, the Erev Yisrael, said that it's not, if we want to have real unity and that it should be Vayakshif Hashem, so then it's not enough to listen to what the contemporary Yiri Hashem say. Contemporary Yiri Hashem sometimes can make a mistake. The contemporary Yiri Hashem today, for example, when there is a 50th anniversary of Arav Kook, and when some Yiri Hashem, when they are invited to speak about Arav Kook, they refuse to participate in such a function. Why, of course, would not be Hashem, but they refuse. But the Novi says, Oz Nidberu Yiri Hashem. If you want to have real unity, unity in Klal Yisrael, so we have to consult, we have to take notice of the way the Yirei Adishem of the daily Sarishayim acted. As a matter of fact, the Sira Sishorim in Perek Chof Aleph in Shar Kinyonei Achsidus says, V'chein Teir Akrio, he discusses, how can one attain Chassidus? So he says, by reading the stories about the daring in the Deir Shofanenu, Bechintel HaKriyo B'Sipo Masei HaChassidim, B'Agodeis HaShavoshom, K'Cholei Lemeirim Mesaseichel, L'Yisyoitz V'Laseis K'Maseyem HaNechmodim. To take notice of the behavior of the Yirei Hashem, of the daring in the Deir Shofar. So, Rabbi Yehoshua Heschel, the Erev Yisrael said, the Novi says, Oz Nidberu Yiri Hashem, not Oz Nidberu. We have to speak about the Yiri Hashem, the Deir Shehova. The Yiri Hashem of the Deir Shofanenu should be spoken of. Then it will be Vayakshit Hashem. Let's take notice how the Yiri Hashem of the Deir Shofanenu acted in response to this requirement of a loyalty pledge. Josephus mentions in his books that Hordes, when he became King Herod, so he imposed the loyalty pledge upon all the Chachmei Yisrael, that they should pledge loyalty to him. He represented Malchus Yisrael in those days. Whether he liked it or not, he was the king. of Israel in those days, whether we like it or not. So she imposed the pledge and we exempted Shammai and Hillel. But the Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel, he told them that they have to make a loyalty pledge. And if not, so they'll be killed. So 6,000, Josephus mentions, 6,000 Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel told Hordes, you can kill each and every one of us, and we are not going to make a pledge of loyalty to you. We made only one pledge, and that is the Shvuy Adonai Mal HaSinai. That's the covenant of faith, and this covenant of faith is imminently intertwined with the covenant of faith. Of course, we have to recognize every assimilated Jew, not only as a human being, but even as a Jew. And we have to risk our life to save their lives, but only as individuals, but as a movement. So Arav Kook, Rav Yitzchak HaKeim Kook, in the letter, and this is published in the book,